Today's gospel reading comes from the 28th chapter of Matthew. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descending from heaven came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has been raised from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. This is my message for you.' So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them and said, 'Greetings.' And they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me.'" This is the gospel of the Lord. Thanks. My pastor wife told me to stay on script. So again, I have a joke, a song, a technical term, and the bottom line. So I have those things. The joke is as follows. A teacher assigned her class the topic, "What I'll be doing during the Easter holiday." All the students began writing. Little Johnny in an especially animated and excited way. Soon he raised his hand. "Teacher, how do you spell gun?" Puzzled, the teacher said, "G-U-N." Johnny continued to write even more furiously. Soon he raised his hand again. "Teacher, how do you spell die?" Alarmed, the teacher said, "D-I-E. Johnny, just what are you intending to do this Easter?" "Why, teacher, we gun die egg, Easter eggs." I tried my best. We gun die. That was the joke. But jokes have a way. I start off with a joke just because I thought it was funny. But that's kind of what the gospel does. You know, it kind of, you hear one thing and then suddenly it turns you a different way. I mean, that's what good jokes do. That's what good people who share their humor, you know, stand-up comics, when you follow them and you follow them down that path and suddenly they go this way, and it's very amusing and can be also very insightful. And it's the same way with this story. And I'm pointing here because David Nelson, you know, we've had for Lent, we had everything was purple here. And then boom, on Easter, out comes this, the non-purple, more glory, still mixed in with the purple, but glory, because he is risen, and that's an amazing thing. And it was an amazing thing for the Marys when they went to see Jesus, and they encounter this angel who comes down from God as a messenger. And if you've ever encountered... Raise your hand. You don't have to raise your hand if you don't want to. But if you've encountered an angel, has an angel ever spoken to you? Have you ever been involved with an angel? If you have, you know what I'm talking about. And it may not always be this boom kind of angel. But that's how I envision this, when his appearance was like lightning and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards took and became like dead men. But the angel said to the woman, I don't think he said it like I read it. I think he said it like that first song, and where we, "He is alive, do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who is crucified, but he is alive." Maybe something like that. Now, the point is, I think that's how they heard the angel that day. It was song. If I ever encounter an angel in a really big way, I imagine it's song. I imagine always that's how it is in Scripture whenever an angel appears. It's song. And it's startling, and it's powerful, And like with all songs that we know and that we feel, it says something that nothing else can say. Words can't say what songs can say. He is alive. That's what this angel said to them. So that was the song, a joke, a song. Now the technical term. The technical term for the day is collaborative eschatology. Repeat that with me. Collaborative eschatology. 4.0 student, do you know what that is? No, that's good. I mean, because you probably would, and you're just being humble, and that's fine. She's from Timberline, and she's pretty smart. Way smarter than me. That's why I have this piece of paper in front of me, so I can read what collaborative eschatology is. Well, collaborative, you know what that means. That means, you know, we work together. And eschatology has to do with end times. Eschaton, the end of time. And so this word, collaborative eschatology, has to do with Jesus. And this is what N.T. Wright, who's a New Testament scholar, borrows this phrase from John Crossan, who's also a New Testament scholar. And this is what he says. Because the early Christians believed that resurrection had begun with Jesus and would be completed in the great final resurrection on the last day, they believed also that God had called them to work with him in the power of the Spirit to implement the achievement of Jesus and thereby to anticipate the final resurrection in personal and political life, in mission and in holiness. If Jesus the Messiah was God's future arriving in person in the present, then those who belonged to Jesus and followed him in the power of his Spirit were charged with transforming the present as far as they were able in light of that future. Now, if you didn't follow what I just said, that's okay, because we tape our sermon, so you can just review that online whenever you want. But what that says is Jesus died. That's clear. That's a fact. And Jesus was raised by God from the dead. Another fact. And that's part of our faith. Our faith facts. What we believe in. The things we believe in. And because of that, because of what God did in that distinctive moment, that starts in motion how the end is going to come to us. So it kind of comes from the future to us. That's the idea. To implement the achievement of Jesus and thereby to anticipate the final resurrection. God's future arriving in person in the present. If we believe Jesus was raised from the dead, we're part of that process. So that's interesting theology, but this is how it works with the bottom line. A friend of mine, his brother passed away just recently. And he was found in a Fred Meyer restroom, and he had overdosed on heroin. It was horrible, you know, sad. And that's for him a very sad time. And all of us, all of you, me right now, I can think of a sad time like that. You can all think of your Fred Meyer restroom bad moments in life. You may be experiencing that now. And so as I was talking with my friend and we were thinking about it, he was talking about regrets and, you know, if I would have, you know how that goes. If we could have just all of those kind of ifs. And as I was talking with him, and we talked through it, we came up with something that I think is helpful. And it relates very much to resurrection. And what we said was, you can only be a servant, you cannot save. You can only be a servant, you cannot save. So what that means, and what that meant for my friend and myself, we can't save his brother. We can't save those who things happen. Also, we can't save those people. The victims who keep getting added to that list, 37, whatever the number is now, that we can't save them. We cannot. All we can do is serve. Saving, my friend and I came up with, is what God does in the service. That's where saving happens. So when my friend loved his brother, he was being saved. When people are trying to find victims and care for those in Oso, that's where saving happens. It's through our service, caring for, waiting upon, showing mercy. Or an angel saying, do not be afraid. Or Jesus saying, do not be afraid. Because like I said with the kids, what's the basis of it all? What trumps all? It's love. That's what Jesus was about. The promise of resurrection and kingdom is that freedom comes now. That when we love, mercy comes now. That when we love, forgiveness comes now. That when we love, caring comes now. So that's the truth of this day. Jesus loves us. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loved me. This story tells me so. That is the bottom line of Easter. The Colossians text sums it up the best, I think. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When our lives are hidden with Christ, when we know the resurrection power of Jesus, when we have faith that that happened, and that love comes to us from God, and it might be announced in a big way like with angels, or it might be as simple as, do you need some help? Either way, we know because of that, he is risen. And that is reason to celebrate. Jesus Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia and amen.